Hey everyone, Pastor Tim here. I pray that this sermon, this resource, will be used by God to grow you and help you flourish in His grace and sanctify you in your faith. This resource is not intended to and will never replace the benefits of being part of a church family. So if you're local, we would love to have you join us here on Sunday mornings. If you're not close, we encourage you to find a church home in your area. Again, we pray that this blesses you and grows you in your love for Jesus and sharing that love with others.
Do you remember what it was like to really experience Christmas? Let me say it again. Do you remember what it was like to really experience Christmas? Somebody really experience Christmas. I had a friend who asked me that this week. He said, man, do you remember what that was like? And I knew what he meant. He was kind of getting at the point that as we've gotten older, Christmas comes real fast. Seems to come faster and faster the older you get. Here it is. Craziness, right? And then it's gone. And he was like, man, I just kind of wish it could go back to how it used to be. The anticipation, the joy in it, all the things I want to feel from it, right? And as I listened to him, I knew that as we talked about it a little bit, I was like, well, you know, the reality is that we're not alone in that thought. How many Christmas movies out there talk about the idea of wanting to regain or recover the magic of Christmas? Or what Christmas really means, the true meaning of Christmas, and there's all sorts of takes on what that is. Right? Or Christmas songs, you know, you can hear them all over the place. What is this? What is the real meaning of Christmas? And I think it makes sense that when we start to feel this, oh, I want it to be like it used to be, what do we start to do? We start to recreate the magic, so to speak. And we start going back to, well, maybe it's in the gift, maybe it's in the people, maybe we need to restore this relationship. We start doing all these things. Maybe it's in the food, maybe it's in the celebration, maybe it's in the event. But what we're trying to do when we do that is fill in a place, fill in a hole that only God can fill. And that is why, through this Christmas season here at the Vine, as we've celebrated Jesus' first coming, this first Advent, we've been talking about the so that of Christmas. Why did Jesus come? Why do we celebrate Jesus' coming? Well, he came so that we might be his sons and daughters. We've seen this by going to Galatians chapter 4, which we're going to go back to tonight. Galatians chapter 4, we've been looking at verses 4 through 6. Tonight, we're going to add in verse 7. And as we come back to that tonight, you may be thinking, especially if you're visiting with us, why are we going to Galatians on Christmas Eve? The answer to that is because this is the heart and core of the message of the Bible, but also because this is the story of Christmas and its fullness. So go there with me now, Galatians chapter 4 in your Bibles. It will be on the screen for you as well. This is God's word. This is the story of Christmas. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. As we come to this tonight, I'm getting ready to share points with you in just a moment. I do want to just say this, that if you're here tonight and you are a follower of Jesus, I want us as we go through this tonight, and I'm primarily going to be speaking to followers of Jesus, as we go through this, I want you to think about what Christmas means and how important it is for us to understand what Christmas means to be able to live as followers of Jesus. Because when we forget it, when we forget what Christmas means, we're in a sense falling back into a slavery that we've been freed from. Because when we forget it, we begin to act like the relationship we have with God, our relationship with God, His love for us is about what we do, what we've done. Or it's about how much we're able to keep God's love focused on us by doing the right things. How much we're able to keep His approval and attention. And so, when we fall back into that, it doesn't take us away from God as His people, but it sure does make our lives pretty miserable. And then if you're here tonight and you're not a follower of Jesus, I want to invite you to please listen. Don't just tune out what we're talking about tonight. Please listen intently for the next few minutes. Because here's the deal. If what we're saying tonight is true, and you're going to hear that we don't always act like it's true, right? I just kind of mentioned that. But if what we're saying, what God's Word is saying is true, it changes everything. Christmas changes everything. It has a new meaning. It gives real meaning. It actually gives life a new value, a new purpose. And then if what I'm saying is not true tonight, then Christianity is not any different than any other religion that tells you must do better whatever God to please whatever godlike figure there is in that religion. So what we're going to do tonight then is I'm going to look mainly at verse 7, and we're going to unpack tonight that because Jesus came, followers of Jesus have three huge benefits. There's more, but I'm just going to focus on these three. Because Jesus came, the first thing we're going to see is you are no longer a slave. That's what it says at the beginning of verse 7. What that means then is that we all either once were, or still are a slave. A slave to what? A slave to what? Well, what the Bible says we're a slave to in this context is we're slaves to the law. What law? The law of Moses. And it's summarized, the moral part of that law is summarized in the Ten Commandments. Is the law itself bad? No, actually the law itself is a good thing. The problem is, what makes it a challenge for us, what makes us a slave to it, is that we can't keep it well enough to be saved through it. We all break the law. We all sin, is what the Bible tells us. And so because of that, because the law couldn't save us, because we couldn't keep it perfectly, the Bible says we were bound to it, we were slaves to it. And the only way out of that, slavery is death. All right, so slavery then, in this context, equals a promise of death. A promise of separation from God, a promise of nothing good, a promise of misery. I don't like sharing that. You know, I've read recently that there are some Christian celebrities that have reportedly said they don't like to think of hell as a real place. They don't like to think of the gravity of eternal misery. Yo, I don't like to think about it either. I don't like to talk about it. It breaks my heart to think that anyone in this room would experience that. That any of our neighbors would experience that. But the Bible teaches it. And so we need to talk about it. And we need to recognize that we were all, every single person in this room at one point in that slavery. But Jesus came so that those who receive Him, who believe in His name, will no longer be slaves. Instead, will be made sons and daughters. And that's what we've been seeing over the last four Sundays here at the Vine. Let me just give you a quick recap. I'm going to fly through these. If you want more on them, you can go back and listen to each phrase in the sermons on the website. He said, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son. Through the unfolding of history, God was working a plan through His people Israel. He was preparing to send Jesus, His only Son. And when the time had come, He sent Him. And He was born of a woman. Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, who was fully God, became fully man. And He did so to endure this life, temptations, pain, and He did it all without sin. Because He was both fully God and fully man at the same time. He was born under the law to redeem those who were under the law. And this was all done for the joy set before Him. So that we might receive adoption as sons. Now, let me just say that, yes, this also applies to ladies. The culture of the day, the inheritance just went to the firstborn son. But Jesus radically changed this in what he's talking about. Because what Jesus says is that all who come through faith in him, the firstborn son, male or female, have received the same benefits as that firstborn son. And so you're no longer a slave. We have the very relationship with the Father. We have the status before the Father as the first, same status as the firstborn son. And what's crazy is God didn't stop just by releasing us from slavery and giving us freedom. He brought us into the family, and he called us his sons and his daughters. And so instead of slavery, because Jesus came, second point is you can rest in the love of the Father. Verse 7 again, you're no longer a slave, but a son. Sons can rest in the love of the Father. And I understand this can be hard sometimes when we're in church and we're talking about fathers, because not everybody in this room had a good father. Nobody in this room had a perfect father. And so that can be a challenge sometimes when we think about this. But God the Father had, while just, while righteous, that's what made him also be able to be perfect in his mercy, in his grace, in his love. God the Father. And sometimes we take it for granted, don't we, that we can call him Father? I think the reality is that we don't understand how crazy this would have been when Jesus came around and started calling God Father in the Jewish culture. In the Old Testament, no one ever refers to God personally as Father. The reality is that, and I could keep going on all this and unpack it more, but just to say this, is that God was considered to be too transcendent, too far above the range of human emotion and understanding, too up there, too out there, for anyone to come to him in this familial language. But Jesus, coming as a baby, he overturned all that. And he assumed a relationship on earth with the Father that would have been considered highly irreverent, even blasphemous to those around him. But Jesus revealed that to all who receive him, who believe in his name, who confess they can't do it on their own and turn to him, would have their sins paid for through his suffering on the cross and can come to him as his children, can come to him as their father. That's why it uses the word Abba. Just call somebody, call out for a minute. What does the word Abba mean? Daddy. Daddy. Paul uses, writing in Greek, uses an Aramaic word. He doesn't use the Greek word because the Greek word didn't capture the intensity of what he was trying to say. Abba. This clearly intimate name that a toddler, a young child would use for the father in the culture. Abba. Daddy. We have the same rights. We've been adopted as sons and daughters. We have the promise of the privilege of calling him daddy forever. That's a love that we can rest in. But we can only rest in it when we recognize that it's not through anything we've accomplished, we've done. It is only through the perfect work of Jesus Christ that we can come and call him that. Because Jesus came, third thing, you can have regular reassurance of the love of the Father. So he says, you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. We can have regular reassurance of the love of the Father because we are heirs through the work of God, through the work of sending Jesus. And through that, we inherit what Jesus inherits. Now, what does Jesus inherit? What do we inherit that Jesus inherits? You know, when we start thinking about inheritance, we kind of start thinking about places or stuff and things. And so it's kind of natural for us to start going, well, we inherit mansions in heaven, or we inherit the streets of gold, or we inherit, you know, it's going to be like we'll have all the great food we want all the time, or we inherit, you know, but maybe sports will be in heaven. I tend to think, I don't know, because I don't think coaching will be in heaven, because when I coach, I get a little amped up. I don't know. Here's the thing. We don't know for sure what all's going to be there. But here's what we do know. It's going to be perfect. The place will be perfect. The relationships will be perfect. There'll be no more sin or dying or death, no more pain or sorrow. This we know for sure. Those other things we talked about, those are promises, some of them. But what's interesting is those aren't the inheritance. What's the inheritance? The inheritance, we are fellow heirs with Christ, we'll inherit what Jesus inherits, that inheritance is the Father. It's unbroken, unmarred, perfect relationship with the Father. It's what we were created for. And when we try to fill that with anything else, it'll come up short. Those things cannot fill that hole. But Jesus can. And that's what Christmas is all about. Emmanuel, God with us, through the person and work of Jesus. And we get an inheritance in that. We get restored relationship with God. That's for now. It's going to be fully seen then. But that's also for now. We are fellow heirs. I just want to go to another passage for just a second to give you a little more depth on this. It's in Romans chapter 8, verses 16 through 17. It's still the Apostle Paul writing, in this case, to the church in Rome rather than church in Galatia. But he says this, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ." You see, Jesus came, Emmanuel, God with us. He lived that life. He died on the cross. He rose again. But you remember what he did after that? When he went away into heaven, it tells us that he left us his spirit as a deposit on the inheritance. And through the Holy Spirit, we have God with us, Emmanuel, right now, if you are a follower of Jesus. And here's what he does. You saw verse 16. It says that he testifies with our spirit. He testifies, he tells us, seeking to convince us over and over and over again that we belong to God. We are his sons and daughters. He reminds us in three quick ways. There may be more, but I'm going to give you three of how the Holy Spirit reminds us. How he regularly reassures us of the love of God. First, the Holy Spirit reassures us through his word. Now, you might sit around and think, well, you know, I don't really sense the Spirit of God reminding me, telling me. But when we come to God's word and we come to it consistently, the Holy Spirit takes his word and he will remind us of who God is. He will remind us of the love of God for us. I'm not telling you if you open it right now and read it that you're going to feel that at this moment. But consistently over time, as we continue to come to it, he does that. As we read it, study it, pray through it, meditate upon it. Also, the Holy Spirit reassures us through his people. If you're a member here at the Vine or here regularly, you know I say this a lot. If you're not, I don't mean this in any way harshly. But for a Christian to come and say, I don't need the church, means a Christian doesn't understand how God works. Because we need, the Holy Spirit reassures us through the people of God, walking with us, encouraging us, challenging us, repenting of their own sin toward us, all of that, right? He also reassures us through always being with you. The Holy Spirit for followers of Jesus is not in and out. He doesn't show up sometimes and say, yeah, I'm out for now. He's always with us. We don't always feel it or sense him being there with us in the same ways, but he's always with us. And you know what? He will never stop reassuring you of the love of the Father. He will never let you forget that you are a child of God. I'll just close with this illustration. I was coaching one of my sons, and it was when they were all younger, and we had made it to a championship game. I mentioned coaching a minute ago, you know. We made it to a championship game. He was my leadoff hitter, and I could tell he was nervous, and so I went up to him and just knelt down beside him while the pitcher was warming up, and I went into coach speak. I'm like, all right, son, listen, so he's getting ready to pitch. He's got a pretty good fastball. He throws strikes. Sometimes he'll throw it over your head. Don't swing at that. Don't swing at it when it's in the dirt. Actually, for it to be as young as he is, sometimes he throws a changeup. So you need to be watching for that changeup. Don't get distracted. Just keep paying attention. And I look at his face, and it's like, what in the world? Just overwhelmed. And it just hit me in that moment, and I looked at him, I said, okay, hold on a minute. All those things were true from a coaching perspective, but that's not what he needed to hear right then. I said, son, come here, buddy. I said, just play hard. Do your best. And no matter what happens, whether you have a good game, whether you have a bad game, whether we win or lose, I love you, and you're still my son. And he said, thank you, Daddy. Followers of Jesus, no matter what happens, whether you win or lose, whether you're walking clearly with him or you have moments when you're like, oh, Lord, I cannot believe I just did that. Forgive me. He says, I love you. You're my son. You're my daughter because Jesus came. You know what our response is? Thank you, Daddy. And if you're not a follower of Jesus here tonight, my prayer is that that will be your response too. Confess that you're trusting in other things. Receive Jesus. Believe him. And say, thank you, Daddy. If you want to talk any more about that after the service, I'd be happy to talk with you. But what I want us to do now is just pause for a minute. And before the Lord, take a moment quietly in your seats and say, thank you, Daddy. Thank you for your love. And then we'll rejoice together as the worship team comes back to lead us. Let's pray.
Lord Jesus, we say, thank you that you came. We cry out, thank you, Daddy, for sending your Son, that we might be your sons and daughters. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us for this podcast. For more information, you can visit us online at thevinecc.com or visit us on Facebook or Instagram at thevinecc. Have a great week.